Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Please be seated. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we celebrate today the Feast of the Holy Trinity. It is sometimes called the summation, the sum of all of the other feasts, because all of our eyes are turned on God, on that reality that has existed for all eternity, that never had a beginning and never will have an end. We worship today, we adore the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in a most special way as we celebrate this feast. I would like to speak about baptism today because our baptism is so intimately linked with the Holy Trinity. We were all baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The seal of those three persons was indelibly put upon our souls. So I think it's very fit and apt to reflect upon our baptism today. But a few words about the Holy Trinity itself. As we know, this is a supernatural mystery. And a mystery is something that we don't understand, but we believe it because we have sufficient reason to believe it. As we know, there are many mysteries simply in the natural order of things. To this day, scientists cannot explain fully for something as simple as photosynthesis, how the sunlight is converted into, I believe it's called chlorophyll. If a plant doesn't have sunlight, it will die. There's something that happens, but this process is so intricate, so mysterious, so deep that even after all these many centuries of scientific inquiry, we still cannot fully explain it. Even something like sunlight. You know, isn't it amazing how the sun gives off sun, light, and heat? It gives off light and heat. It comes 93 million miles. And what is it? We think it's photons. It actually goes through glass, which is not a permeable substance. At least not, seems to be opaque, but somehow these photons get through. And here we are enjoying the light from the sun every time it comes through the glass. So, can you see the absurdity of somebody who says, if I can't understand it, I won't believe it? Well, you can't believe anything or most things because so many things are mysteries. We simply do not understand them. But as long as we have an authority that tells us it is so, then we say, I do believe it. So we have mysteries in the natural order, and we most certainly have mysteries in the supernatural order, and the greatest of all of these mysteries is how there are three persons and yet only one God. They are really distinct from one another, three persons. And yet, because they all have the same divine nature, they're one. Because there cannot be more than one God. A few minutes ago, I was giving you the analogy how the sun and the light and the heat are three distinct aspects or realities, you might say, and yet they are one. St. Augustine gives another beautiful analogy to the Holy Trinity in his one of his many lengthy works about the Holy Trinity. He says, every time we have a thought process of any kind, we are involving memory, we're involving the will, and we're involving the intellect. Three distinct realities. And yet, they are all one. They work completely together. So you see, we have analogies that help us to understand a little of this infinite mystery. But no, we will never fully understand it. We're not supposed to, because how can an infinite thing be fully comprehended by a finite mind? As was shown to St. Augustine one day in a vision, a little boy was trying to put the ocean into a little hole, just using his pail, carrying water back and forth. He says, you'll never do that. You'll never be able to put the ocean into that little hole. And then, as tradition tells us, the little boy changed into an angel and said, neither will you ever fully understand the Trinity. So, let's now turn to baptism. Our Lord's words to the apostles just before he ascends into heaven, go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. By that very fact, belief in the Trinity was being spread everywhere. If somebody baptized only in the name of the Father or only in the name of the Holy Ghost, it would be an invalid baptism. Nothing would happen. It has to be in the name of each of the three persons. And so we baptize. My source for today is a book published originally in 1880 by Reverend Leonard Goffin, and it's titled Explanations of the Epistles and Gospels. And for Trinity Sunday, he does have this series of catechism-type questions about baptism. We probably won't complete it today, but let's reflect on this as we realize how the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost came to us on that most special day in our lives where original sin was washed away, we were reborn, and we were given the life of God Himself, sanctifying grace. Is baptism a sacrament? Yes, because in it the baptized person receives the grace of God by means of an external sign instituted by Christ. What is this external sign? The immersion or the pouring of water accompanied by the words, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It is true that in the early church, people were baptized by immersion. They would go down to a lake, a river, and be completely dunked underneath and come out. And the words were, of course, said while the immersion is taking place. And the church, I think fairly soon, realized that it wasn't necessary to have full immersion. And so therefore we have simply the pouring of the water over the forehead. As long as it flows over the forehead, that's sufficient. I've sometimes thought how involved it would be if we always had full immersion. Well, we'd need a big pool, have to put on hip waders and take people in there, and I'm just glad that we don't have to do that. It does make it much more simple, and it is certainly sufficient. But definitely a valid form of baptism. What does the baptismal grace effect? It removes original and actual sin. So if the person is a child or adult that has already committed his or her own sins in addition to original sin, every sin is wiped clean from the soul. And of course, this can happen only once in a lifetime. how many kinds of baptism are there? There are three kinds. The baptism by desire, which consists in a heartfelt desire for the baptism of water, joined with a perfect love of God or a perfect sorrow for sins committed, and with the purpose to obey all God's commands. The baptism of blood, which is received by those who suffer martyrdom for the true faith, without having received the baptism of water, and finally, the baptism of water itself, which is the sacrament of baptism. If you have your missals, I would like you to open to the epistle for the first Sunday after Easter. I would like to point out something that reinforces this fact. So let's go to, again, the first Sunday after Easter. And this is from the first epistle of St. John, and about halfway or a little bit more through that epistle, we read these words. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So we see the Trinity being preached there by St. John in his first epistle. And he goes right on to say, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are one. As I read this, this seems to be one of the clearest indications that when somebody cannot receive baptism of water, that baptism by desire or the Spirit or baptism of blood will suffice. So just a beautiful correlation, I think, today. Here we are on the first Sunday after Pentecost, honoring the Holy Trinity, and then the first Sunday after Easter, which was several weeks ago, there's the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, and also, I believe, a very clear reference to the three types of baptism. Now, a couple of points need to be emphasized. Baptism of desire, baptism of blood suffice only if baptism of water is impossible. If somebody rejects baptism of water and says, I'll just be baptized by desire, no, nothing will happen. That person is refusing to obey the very command of our Lord to be baptized. By the way, we have many quotes in this regard. It's published on our website, cmri.org, because there are people that struggle with this and misunderstand the teaching of the church, thinking that only baptism of water is it makes it possible to save one's soul. But there's many, many quotes from the teachings of the church showing that when baptism of water is impossible, then baptism by desire, baptism of blood will suffice. Another point that needs to be made perfectly clear is that ignorance will not save anybody. It's not enough. One has to have supernatural faith and supernatural charity. Without those, baptism of desire does not take place, and that person cannot save his soul. There has to be faith and charity. Without those, one cannot go to the kingdom of heaven. The constant teaching of the church. This is why the church has had such a strong missionary activity throughout its history, because people need to understand the rudiments of the faith and believe in it. They have to repent of their sins. Without repentance, no salvation. And the third point I want to emphasize with regards to, oh, by the way, God gives the gift of faith to anyone who wishes it. In some way, everyone has a chance to save his or her soul, to cooperate with grace, to be led to that point where they can believe in the essential, at least the essential points of the faith. God doesn't create anybody for the purpose of losing his soul. God creates people so that they can save their souls. It's only through man's own fault that he doesn't cooperate with God's grace. And the third point I wanted to make, to emphasize, is that only baptism by water is a sacrament. You see, baptism of desire, baptism of blood will enable somebody to be joined to the church by desire and enable him or her to save his soul, but it's not a sacrament. And we know, we're instructed so well as Catholics, the critical importance of baptism. How important it is to do it as soon as possible after birth, not to wait unduly. Because before baptism, that child is even under the dominion of Satan. In a real way. We're children of wrath, St. Paul tells us. And it's only in the saving waters of baptism for that infant that that state or condition is washed away and the child is adopted by the Heavenly Father himself and given the life of grace. What do the different ceremonies of this sacrament signify? They are the external signs of the effects which baptism produces inwardly upon the soul and should impress us with deep reverence for this sacrament. Why is it customary to have Godfather or Godmother? That there may be a witness that the child has received baptism, that in case of the death of the parents, the sponsors may assume their place and have the child instructed in the truths of religion. St. Augustine, speaking of the duties of sponsors, very beautifully says they should use all care often to admonish in true love their godchildren, that they may strive to lead a pure life, that they should warn them against all detraction, all improper songs, and keep them from pride, envy, anger, and revenge. They should watch over them that they may preserve the Catholic faith, attend the church services, listen to the word of God, and obey their parents and their pastors. Sponsors must therefore be true believers and of unquestionable morality. No one, unless a Catholic, can be chosen for a sponsor. No one, unless a Catholic, can be chosen for a sponsor, because one who is not a Catholic would not instruct the child in the Catholic faith or see that others do it, but we'd be more likely, as experience shows, to draw the child over to error. So we'll have to stop there today. I'll save this for a future sermon to go more into detail on the ceremonies of baptism. But my dear brethren, let us rejoice today as we honor the Most Holy Trinity with great jubilation. Let us realize more than ever before the Holy Trinity has been impressed on our soul through baptism. Let us make this a special day of thanks for that time in which we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.